Well, welcome to the Repos. It's been a preview show, and we're back after a couple of weeks off for Christmas. And I suppose we're Charlie's Angels tonight rather than Celebrity Squares, because Paul's been off sunning himself for his birthday, and he texted us all earlier on and said, "I'm too knackered, mate. I can't do it tonight." He said, "And I think the missus will do her nuts." So it's just myself, of course, and the two legends to my right, Dean Barker and to Glenn. Have a good Christmas, guys.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, mate. Enjoyed the break. Just took the 16 days off work, mate. So, yeah, refreshed and back into it now, mate.
16 days. Unbelievable. What about you, Dean?
Yeah, mate, it's good. Yeah, good to have a couple of weeks off and spending with the family and all that sort of stuff. So, nice to not have to set an alarm for a few weeks.
Yeah, and I had one day off. But anyway, that's beside the point. Nightmare, but there we go. So if we look at the points where we are at the minute. So at the minute, Glenn's on 25, Dean's on 34, Paul's on 36, and I'm on 39. Glenn had the best week of the last time round, so he gained more points than all of us. We got about 6 or 7 in the last time round, so that's why we let him off wearing his Santa suit.
I was going to put it on, mate.
But all good for you, though, guys. Nothing in the pipeline yet, job wise.
I'll let you go, Dean.
no, not at the moment, mate. There ain't no jobs out there, really, to be honest. But just watching games, keeping in the loop, and just waiting for the next opportunity, really.
Mm. Glenn?
Yeah, pretty much the same as Dean. I've watched one or two games. Could have got to a few more, but like I said, I wanted first Christmas that I haven't had to go out for Boxing Day games, New Year's games, so yeah, I enjoyed the break. But I had one or two offers, not quite for me. I think my next decision I make regarding football has got to be with an ambitious football club. So, like I say, hopefully, if we're back in, we're back in. Mm. And hopefully, it's not too far away.
Mm. I suppose one of the biggest things that happened, I suppose, especially from, I suppose, the Bostic side, or one of the I suppose horrendous things that could happen for anybody, I suppose, over the Christmas period or any time. And of course, and send all our best wishes and condolences to the Richardson family at this tough time for them. And fantastic to see Tom in his last couple of games banging in the goals as well. Of course, in memory of his sister.
Yeah, definitely. I tried to sign Tom, and he's such a lovely guy, and you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. You know, I mean, horrendous news, and I hope they all pull together and get through it as well as they possibly can.
Mm. Yeah, echo what Glenn says. Obviously, everyone knows I'm a big fan of Tom, so yeah, wish everyone well.
Mm. Well, should we go on to the games? I mean, to this week's games, we've got Worthing against Lewis, Mersham against Enfield Town, we've got Basildon against Tilbury, Tooting and Mitcham against Hayes, we've got Egham versus Chalfont St Peter, Phoenix versus Hastings United, Three Bridges versus VCD, and Morden and Tiptree versus Greys. So I suppose starting off first, I suppose Worthing versus Lewis, and both sides were in some good form before Christmas, but I don't know, they seem to have just dropped off a little bit, or am I wrong?
I'm a big fan of Worthing. You know, I think they get the ball down and play the game the right way. And I'm a little bit surprised they haven't got more points on the board and really challenging for the top spot. I remember last year they had a little bit of a poor start, didn't they? They've had to play so many games away from home. But this year, you know, looking at them, sort of like 11 points off top with a game in hand, win that, they go 8 points off top spot. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Worthing. I love the way they go about their business. They introduce youth at every given opportunity, and they definitely play the game the right way.
Mm. Well, George Pope's just tweeted and said, "Sitting Bourne are after a new manager." So
I think they appointed someone today, didn't they?
I've no idea, if I'm honest. I just had that come through just at the bottom of the screen. So just
I think if I'm not wrong, I think they appointed someone today.
So you was going to say, Dean? Sorry, mate, I interrupted you there.
No. I was just going to say, like two clubs with great support as well. Like I said, when we went there with Wingate last year to Worthing, it was pouring down, one of the sort of wettest days of the year, and there's still 800 people there. Mm. So yeah, fantastic support. And yeah, you say sort of maybe dropped off a little bit. Lewis had got a good point at Enfield Town on Saturday. And Margate equalised late on against Worthing. So both teams could have nicked the 3 points on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their form in the last five games. Literally, Lewis 5, Brightling C 0, Mersham 3, Lewis 2, Bognor 2, Lewis 2, Lewis 0, Burgess Hill 3 in a big shock. Enfield Town 1, Lewis 1, scored 10, conceded 9. Worthing lost 2-0 at home to Bognor, then they lost 2-1 away to Burgess Hill, won 2-0 at home to Corinthian. Margate 1, Worthing 1, and then Whitehall 1, Worthing 2, scored 6, conceded 6. And when these guys have played each other before, they played each other twice. Lewis 3, Worthing 3. Lewis 3, Worthing 4. So, sounds like there's always plenty of goals.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game. I think, like I say, goals galore and Lewis. I mean, I've never come up against Lewis as a manager, but I've sort of like watched their results over the last few weeks and over the last couple of seasons, and they're definitely a club who seem to hit good patches at the right time, don't they? Mm. And I think that'll be a tough game for Worthing tomorrow.
Chris Lynch has been appointed as the sitting ball manager today. So just so you know, that's flown up in front of me as well, in front of the screen. So that's who's taking it over today, Chris Lynch.
Good luck, Tim.
All the best.
So, Dean, I mean, have you seen either of these two play? I mean, what do you think? I mean, Worthing sort of going like a train, and then Lewis as well. When I said they weren't in the greatest of form, but it just seemed to be two teams that, before we had the break for Christmas, were the two teams that were in probably more form along with Haringey that were flying along.
Yeah, I think we spoke before Christmas about Worthing. As Glenn said, they're very young, and would that sort of affect them in the final push, and would that cost them games maybe to get in the playoffs? But if you look at the top three, Haringey, Kingstonian and Dorking, you'd imagine those three would either win the league or get in the playoff. So there's only two places up for grabs. So it's going to be very tight towards the end of the season. And Worthing and Lewis are obviously going to have to finish strong to get in the playoffs.
Mm. I think Folkestone, you know, I'm very surprised how Folkestone's season's gone this season. I really thought they'd have been one of the front runners again this year.
Yeah, I think
they're capable of putting a run together to gatecrash those playoffs as well. But I'm with you, Dean. I think if whoever finishes above Haringey, Kingstonian and Dorking have had a very, very good season, because those three teams, I'm not sure what Haringey's budgets would be like, but Kingstonian and Dorking we know have got a few quids, and whoever finishes above either of those two teams have done very, very well to reach playoffs.
And I mean, you've got to speak about, I suppose, before we ask you scores and that on that game, but we've got to talk a little bit about the top, I suppose, and Haringey just on fire, and if they're on fire, what is going on at Tonbridge?
Well, I said to you before, I'm good friends with Steve, and I speak to Steve a fair bit. And there's a lot that go on at football clubs that we don't all get to hear about. You know, budgets, 12th man, budget cuts, you have to release players. I mean, I see a tweet from the debut, I think it was yesterday, sorry to see a player go who he's got a lot of time for. But to strengthen his squad, he's got to release players.
Mm.
At other clubs, you know, like your Dorkins and your Kingstonians, maybe that's not the case. But, you know, I think with Steve and I think with Tonbridge supporters, I know they are a big, big football club, and they do demand and they feel they should be playoffs every season. But, you know, when your hands are tied and money's taken back and your budget's cut and you rely on your supporters for your 12th man to bring in that extra player, I think sometimes you've got to, as supporters, you've got to look at the bigger picture and say, hey, with the resources he's got, he ain't doing a bad job. But he has been on a bad, bad run. But he's been on these runs before and he's got himself out of them.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we went to Tonbridge last year on non-league day with Wingate, and it's a great crowd, lovely setup over there. And yeah, like Glenn said, Steve's been about, he'll get him out of it, no doubt.
So what we're looking at then, Worthing against Lewis, then what do you reckon's going to be the scoring there?
I'm going to go for 2-0 Worthing.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 2-1 Worthing, as it's at Worthing. On the Astro.
I missed the Astro.
Well, Paul's gone 2-1 also to Worthing. And I'm going to sit there and say, well, looking at previous scores and whatever else, do you know what? I want to go for something really, really silly and go for a 3-3 draw.
You never know.
the easier way of sitting on the fence rather than a 0-0.
To win 10-0 in the next leg.
Well, you say that, but I heard somebody on the radio this morning turn around and say that if Burton get an early goal, it could make it interesting. You think you're having a laugh at it? you'll probably just annoy them. Mersham against Enfield. I mean, talking of teams in form, I mean, Struth, they're in a little bit of form at the moment, Mersham, aren't they?
I speak to Jake Hutchins. He's just left and gone to Wingate. And before Jake left, they were struggling. They were struggling for results. And sort of like Jake said, you know, we've got a really good team, and I'm just not too sure why we're not winning games. And since he's gone, they seem to be on a run of results where, you know, they're right back amongst that, aren't they? You know, I mean, yeah. I looked a couple of weeks ago and I thought, wow, Hayden's having big, big problems down there. But, you know, he's now sitting 3 points out of the playoffs. Mm. Crazy. Just goes to show what a good Christmas period can do. You know, 12, 15 points over in December over Christmas, and you're right back in there.
Yeah, I know. I speak to Jake as well. I was speaking to Jake the other day, and he said he was playing there all the time. He's gone to Wingate. You ain't playing now. So, Jake, good lad. And, yeah, no, fair play. I don't know, from the outside, Mersham seem to sort of change their squad up quite a bit throughout the season. They're always sort of announcing a signing and someone's left. And, yeah, they seem to freshen it up and they're on a great run at the moment.
And a really sort of nice, sort of picturesque ground as well. I mean, I've only been there the once with Harle. I think it was in the trophy. But a lovely little ground as well to go and play. And you have to go and warm up, if I'm right, over on the back, don't you? You have to go through the past the dugouts and onto a back pitch out the back.
Yeah, we had them first game of the season last year, and Alex, who signed for Cheltenham, he come on, didn't start the game, and we looked pretty comfortable. Their striker went off injured, he come on, scored a hat-trick. So now he's playing in League Two, so fair play to him. And yeah, nice little ground.
Yeah. So what about what about Enfield Town? I mean, seem to be buying quite a few players, or getting in a few players, and they're one of those teams that, you know, just by name more than anything else, you expect to be right up the top there, don't you?
Yeah, the crowd get behind them. You know, Enfield have got a half-decent following as well, haven't they? I've come up against Enfield a couple of times. Always a tough, tough game against Enfield. And with people like Billy Bricknell and that, you know, they're always going to score goals. And it's no surprise to me that Enfield are sitting fourth from top. I mean, I think the season before last, they made playoffs. They kept us out of the playoffs. They stayed out of the playoffs. Last season, they didn't make the playoffs. And then obviously this season, they're fourth. And, you know, this sort of like sitting 2 points off second with a game in hand.
Yeah.
I saw Enfield Town Boxing Day against Wingate. And, great signing Mark Weberson. And I know they signed the boy from Kingstonian, but I think he's out injured. They got in the playoffs, like Glenn said, and then I think Bradley took all the team to Braintree with him, didn't he? Mm. Or took a lot of them to Braintree, and then Andy came in. Andy's been around, and he knows how to win games as well. So I'd expect them to be pushing this year as well.
And as you say, they've got, you know, when you've got somebody like Billy Bricknell, you know, I mean, most people would say probably one of the best strikers in the Premier Division. I mean, it's you're always going to score goals.
Yeah, you give him a 2-year contract as well. So the club have obviously backed Andy as well. And that tells you they mean business when they start throwing those sort of players on 2-year contracts.
Mm. Glenn?
Proven goal scorer, mate. Wherever he's been, he's scored goals. You know, I know the people at Billericay were very disappointed to see him leave. But like Dean just said, you don't just give players 2-year contracts if you don't feel they're going to produce over 2 years. You most probably do a year with a year option, see how the first year's gone, and then obviously, you know, if he's done well, you can take the option up. If he ain't done so well, then you can release. But like Dean said, people like Billy Bricknell, you'd give 2-year contracts to all day long.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of those ones you take the gamble on.
Not a gamble, 30 odd goals a season, man, isn't he? You know, I mean, I don't see that as a gamble. And like Dean said, where, you know, you get him supply and you get the ball to him, and the lad score goals, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So what are we going for with this one?
I'm going to go for an Enfield 2-1 win. I'll let you go first next time, Dean.
I'm going to go 1-1.
And I think I'm going to go 3-1 Enfield. And Paul went 3-2 to Enfield in that game. I suppose the next one is a tale of two teams, I suppose, in the North, because at the beginning of the season, Tilbury struggling down the bottom ends of the table, struggling to get even a win. Basildon and absolutely flying, you know, and looking like they probably won't ever lose. And then we look a couple of months later and it's completely turned around the other way.
Yeah, obviously they cut the budget at Basildon, and the Basildon manager who got him up last year has gone to Tilbury. Mm. So obviously taking some of his players with him. I know Neil really well, the Basildon manager. And yeah, I mean, it's a difficult job for him to take on. I mean, they've lost a lot of players and he's going to have to sort of rebuild his side. So it'll take him time. But yeah, you got fancy Tilbury probably on Saturday.
Mm. And of course, as you say, Mark, going back to Basildon.
I think, really, like you say, when a manager joins another club, he usually try and take the people he knows best and who he can trust and who he feels will do the best on the football pitch for him. And he's obviously took a few players from Basildon to Tilbury. And, old players going back to your old club, you always want to stick one on them, don't you? So I can't see nothing more than a Tilbury win.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm same sort of thing from my end, I must admit. Dean, do you think as well?
Yeah, like, listen, I'd love Neil to do well. He's a good lad. His son used to play for me, for my team. So, yeah, he's had a difficult couple of results so far. Mm. I know they've been in games, but they sort of just lost them at the end. But, yeah, hopefully he can do well there. But I feel Tilbury will probably get the win on Saturday.
And do you think Tilbury may have enough to squeeze in playoffs or not?
What, is he about 9 points off the playoffs?
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's, well, like you say, if you go on one of those runs where you win six or seven on the bounce, suddenly you're in there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Still enough games to go. Mm. We're only in January.
Would you fancy him, Glenn?
Like I said, I don't really know too much about Tilbury, to be fair. All Basildon, like I said, I haven't managed in the North, so I haven't really come across these two teams or even seen either of these two teams play.
Mm.
But looking at the league table, And looking at the goals scored and goals against, you look at Tilbury, scored 34, conceded 34.
Mm.
How many of them have been in the last 10 games would be interesting. And then obviously you look at Basildon, scored 32, conceded 24. Scored 24, conceded 32. So you can see how they're switched around, can't you? Tilbury on the up, Basildon on the way down. And like I said, I can't see nothing less than a Tilbury a win and a comfortable win.
Mm. Would you agree? I mean, what can Basildon do? Will Basildon be up for it? Because of course they're going up against their old manager. There's got to be some players there, and you know Lee Connors has just put a comment on as well. I mean, you know, so the chairman, you know, will be in there surely, and you know rallying the troops. I would have thought beforehand, and would that make a difference because they're coming up against their old manager?
Yeah, it adds a little bit of spice to the game and stuff, doesn't it? I imagine the chairman was happy with what he'd done at Basildon, getting them promoted and stuff. But like I say, I know Neil really well, so I'd love him to do well. Mm. But yeah, Basildon, it's their first year back at Step 4. I'd imagine now, after sort of what's gone on and stuff, they're happy to sort of consolidate and stay at Step 4 for next season. Mm. And see how they go next year.
Mm. I think it's going to be interesting. I think that could be the only spanner in the works, because if you know, it depends on how sort of ramped up the boys are to go up against their old manager. And I think, you know, that could be something that could, I don't know, possibly may not make it as easy as what we might think it might be for Tilbury.
I'll let you go, Dean. Like I said, I don't know a great deal about
that.
So you don't know too much about me.
I just think Tilbury would be too strong for him on the day, but obviously, yeah, with the connections and stuff, I hope I'm wrong on this one because I'd love Neil to get the 3 points. But, I think Tilbury would be too strong and they'll probably win 3 or 4-1.
Hmm.
We've got, as players, though, we've all been there, haven't we? When you go back to your old stomping ground, or you're coming up against a rival that you most probably got a little bit of history between, and there's now history between the two clubs, you know, you just want to rally around your gaffer and try to get the best result possible. So I'm sure Basildon won't go out there and make it easy for Tilbury, and I'm sure it'll be a cracking little game tomorrow. Mm. Saturday, sorry.
Yeah. Well, so what do we think now? I'll go first. I reckon it's going to be a 2-2 draw.
I'm going to go 2-1 Tilbury.
I'll go 3-1 Tilbury, but I hope I'm wrong on this one.
Well, Anthony Mercer's just come in. He's in the last 10 games. Tilbury have conceded 10 in their last 10 games.
That's why their results have improved.
Mm. Very, very good.
So move on to, we'll come back to, of course, the Star game, which is Maldon and Grays. Maldon and Tiptree versus Grays. We'll come back to that at the end. But Tooting and Mitcham versus Hayes and Yedding. I mean, Hayes and Yedding, top of the table, absolutely flying. Two games in hand. And the chairman of Basildon has just gone 2-1 Basildon, by the way, just so you know. But, you know, Hayes and Yedding absolutely flying. I mean, where do you see this one? Do you see Tooting pulling off a shock or?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Tooting, good manager, good side. I tipped them at the start of the season to get in the playoffs. They've sort of. I know. I speak to their manager, and he's still not happy that we beat them 4-3 first game. but yeah, nah, proper good lad. And yeah, if there's one team that can turn Hayes and Yedding over, I know Chipstead run them close during the week, didn't they? I can see this being a surprise on Saturday and Tooting maybe nicking something.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tilbury's Anthony Mercer said it's going to be 2-1 Tilbury. So they've both gone for a 2-1 each. So there we go. What do you think, Glenn? Do you think Hayes and Yeddy will be too good for Tooting?
Just look at the goal difference. Plus 56. I can't see. I mean, I know stats. Sometimes you can get carried away with stats at times. But scored 73, conceded 17 from 18 games. I think I'm definitely going to be back at Hayes and Yedden. Like I say, you know, obviously Dean knows Tooting and know Tooting a little bit better than myself. But I think with whatever foul power Hayes and Yedden have got, when you look at the goals conceded by Tooting, 31 goals conceded, I don't really hold out too much hope. But like I said, could be wrong.
I think it's just one of those things. I mean, I've seen Tooting and Mitcham. I know they've improved of late, but I don't know. For me, I just, as you say, Glenn, I don't see anything other than a Hayes and Yedding win by some considerable way. Would you disagree, Dean, or would you say the same?
No. I disagree today, gents. I know Tooting and they're a team on their day that can turn anyone over, and listen, Hayes and Yedding will win the league. I don't think anyone doubts that. But I just think on Saturday at Tooting as well, I think Tooting can nick it 2-1.
Wow, okay. So 2-1 for you then, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to go 4-0 to Hayes and Yedding.
I was going to say 4-1.
4-1?
Hayes and Yedding. And the Tooting chairman will be on here and slating me and you, Dave.
Paul's gone.
The manager's always on Twitter. He's a good lad.
Paul's gone 3-1 Hayes, and we've had Dave Beaumont. Of course, it's a big game for them, for all the Harlow boys as well at the weekend. Again, they take on top of the table, Haringey Borough, and he reckons Harlow going to win by 2-1.
Haringey got to lose at some point, haven't they?
They have, yeah, yeah.
Tough place to go, Harlow. Very tough place to go. Mm. It's that 3G pitch.
Harry Gale got one as well. So, next one we move on to then, Egham versus Chalfont St Peter. What do we think?
Yeah, I mean, Egham obviously changed the manager, and I know they only lost 2-1 to Ashford at the weekend. They're desperate for a win. They're rock bottom. Chalfont had a win over Norfolk during the week. Chalfont are sort of one of those teams that on their day can beat anyone, but also on their day they can lose as well. And I think Egham might cause a surprise here as well. I'm down for two shocks in this league this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Dean. I think, you know, your luck and your form's got to change at some time. You know, Egham sort of 8 points from 19 games. You've got to start to get on a run now, haven't you, to avoid relegation. So, like I said, Chalfont St Peter, on their day, could most probably beat a lot of teams, but I'm going to go with Egham. Like Dean said, they've signed one or two players now, you know, and hopefully they'll put a little run together to climb the table.
So you think both of you guys then think Egham are going to come out of that? Because I know we were looking at it on Monday night and saying that, you know, they were down the bottom now. I think the other two that are down there, it's South Park and Molesley.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, I think everybody there was saying it's going to be 2 from 3. But do you think then that you know, that Egham are going to get away from the bottom end then?
Yeah, I mean, Egham have got a decent budget as well, so you'd be surprised for a team that rock bottom. So they have sort of got a bit of dough to go and sign one or two, and I know they've had three managers this, or might be four managers this season, so at some point they've got to settle, and I wouldn't even know how many players they've used this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're a club who sort of have the financial backing to sign a few and get out of it.
Yeah. Well, Jake from Harlow Towns just said he reckons it's going to be 3-0 to Harlow, so the Harlow fans are very confident about facing the league leaders or the runaway leaders at the minute in the Haringey Borough. But we'll come back to that game later, actually.
Top boy, Jakey.
Yeah, he is indeed. Yeah, he's absolutely. He spoke extremely well on Monday night, and you know, and I think he should be really proud of himself. I know he was very, very nervous before we went on air, and but it was like the Peaky Blinders special. I don't know if you saw it, but
I see their ads. Their ads. One get one free,
won't it? I see it. I was just looking for the blades at the front.
me and you need one, Glenn.
Oh, you're not wrong.
It was like, okay, fair enough. But so what do we reckon score wise then for on this game? I'm going to go
2-1 out then for me.
I'm going to go 1-1.
I'm going to join you, Dave.
Yeah.
1-1.
One that I suppose is a really big game in the in Keith's league, of course, and this weekend, and that is Phoenix versus Hastings. I mean, this one for me just sounds like an absolute humdinger of a game. I mean, what are you your feelings on this one? Because I mean, it's, you know, two really good sides.
Glenn loves this league, so I'll let Glenn go first.
No, I was waiting for you to go, mate. You know what? Honestly, right, people, you need to get on the map and realise where I live. I live in Ipswich. We've got about seven clubs in Suffolk, right? Anything past Brighton to see, mate, I struggle.
And this is from a man that sells motorhomes as well.
Yeah, well, caravans, mate. Just because I sell motorhomes and caravans, don't tell me it's a summer who had a place like Egham and Tooton with them. Take it away, Dino. Help me out.
Right, Hastings. Yeah, again, good. Having a good season, isn't they? They've just clawed Cray back a little bit. And obviously, Hastings get big support. Phoenix, I think Phoenix are 9th or 10th in the league.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would still fancy Hastings to get a result on Saturday.
And I mean, you just mentioned, I know it's not the two teams we're talking about, but in Cray, they've had some real sort of, I know that you get your own luck, but they've had some real luck of late, haven't they? I mean, another last minute goal, I think, against Three Bridges during the week as well, or last weekend as well. So, I mean, they're having some, they're certainly getting a little bit of the rub of the green, shall we say.
Yeah, they're, and when you've got good sides, you get a bit of luck sometimes as well, don't you? The bigger sort of sides in the league. And good teams play till the final whistle, don't they?
Yeah.
I know it's like a cliche in football and all that sort of stuff, like Fergie time and all that, but the good teams keep coming at you, and there's no surprise the teams that win the league or get promoted are the ones that score a few goals towards the end of games.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Hastings, I suppose, at the beginning of the season, Hastings were one of those ones that you possibly might have looked at and thought, well, they're going to be pushing for, you know, for automatic promotion, and probably Phoenix, one of those ones that you'd expect to be in or around the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Hastings, they get Saturday 400-500. They always get good crowds at home, and they would sort of sit comfortably in the Bostic Prem with crowds like that. So yeah. They'd get even more if they went up. So, yeah, good club. And, yeah, Phoenix, like you say, with, what is there, 15, 20 games to go, if any team goes on a little run now, they can be up there.
And Phoenix, of course, one of those clubs as well, I suppose, a real sort of like, I think I've only ever been there once, know the chairman, you know, quite well as well, in Andy Mortlock, and it comes across as being one of those real family clubs as well, real strong family ties in the club, and it comes across as being a really lovely club to be, you know, to belong to.
Like I said to you earlier, I mean, I know I touched over, we played Hastings in the FA Cup, they knocked us out of the FA Cup at the beginning of the season. I thought the football they played when they came to our place, I mean, they were down to 8 men. You know, they had 3 men sent off. I know it was close to the end of the game, but the way they play, that pass the football and move in between the lines, and their midfield link up with their front men, and their midfield go beyond their front men. They pull this all over the park, and it's no surprise to me that they're sitting where they're sitting. But like I said, you know, Craze are doing very, very well in that league as well, aren't they? So that should be a right humdinger.
I think it's going to be a great game, but I mean, what are we going to go for?
I'm going to go Hastings are going to nick it. I'm going to say 2-1 Hastings.
Dean?
2-0 Hastings for me.
And Alex Teniola in that game. I've got a sneaky suspicion for possibly a 2-1 to Hastings, and maybe they might just nick that. Paul's also gone for a 2-1 Hastings as well. So the next game in this league is Three Bridges versus VCD. Maybe not one of the clubs, Three Bridges, that you'd have been expecting to be in that, you know, top half of the, you know, to the table. Well, you would normally, when you ever see Three Bridges, or you know, from previous seasons, they've always been in that sort of bottom regions of the South Division. But they seem to be doing a lot better this time around.
Yeah, no, it's good to see them doing well. Obviously, VCD have sort of just dropped down a little bit, maybe. But yeah, both teams will be looking at it now, thinking if we have a good January or go on a little run, we can both get in the playoffs.
I mean, VCD, as you say, dropped off a little bit. But I mean, do you see that? You know, with Keith's young side there going up against Three Bridges. I mean, have you played at Three Bridges before? Do you know what the surface is like up there?
Someone at motorhome there.
I haven't been there, mate, to be honest.
I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't even know where it was, but I know only thing I know about Three Bridges there was on that TV. I don't know if you saw it a couple of seasons ago when they were in the Bostic previously, when they were on the TV show on Channel 4 or Channel 5, where they did a dressing room thing through different sides from different sports, and Three Bridges was the one side that they went into the dressing room before the game, half time and after the game. I don't know if you saw any of that, but Three Bridges were the team that were in that, so that's the only side. I mean, Jake's just said he reckons it's going to be 3-1 to VCD.
Charlie McDonald hat-trick.
Well, that wouldn't surprise anybody, would it? I mean, is that another situation where if you've got somebody like Charlie McDonald, does that sort of match up to somebody like a Billy Bricknell?
Yeah, I mean, Charlie obviously been in the Football League, and I remember Keith telling me what a great sort of professional he was and how good he was with the younger players and all that. So, yeah, you can only learn off people like that, can't you? I sort of, these days, some of the younger players think they should be playing and stuff like that. It's good for them to see someone who's been in the programme, how they train and sort of how they prepare for games.
I mean, just looking at the form, the last five games for VCD, they drew 0-0 with Whiteleaf, then they lost at home 3-2 to Guernsey, lost 2-1 away to Hastings, beat Greenwich Borough 4-1, and then beat Phoenix Sports 2-0, scored 9, conceded 6. Three Bridges beat Horsham 2-1, drew 2-2 away at Guernsey, at Greenwich, beat Guernsey 3-0 away, beat Whiteleaf 3-2 at home, and then they lost that last-minute goal against Cray by goal to nil. The head-to-head between the two sides, have played each other once, but it was in the reverse fixture, and VCD won the game by 2-1. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Three Bridges in a bit better form than they were maybe back in September.
Pause.
It's all gone quiet, yeah.
Yeah, mate. So, yeah, let's get a win for Keith. Let's have a key turn win.
I'm going to back Keith this weekend.
3-1. 3-1? I'm going 2-1, Keith. Paul's gone 1-0, Keith. So where are you going, Dean?
2-1, Keith.
You're going 2-1, isn't it?
Loyal supporters here.
So the start game then this week is Morden and Tiptree versus Grays. I mean, this one's you know, it's going to be a real humdinger of a game, isn't it?
Yeah, both teams in good form. I see Kieran Bishop, who Glenn knows well. Kieran Bishop was on a score sheet for Grays against Bury, and Yeah, Maldon, as I think Paul said before, they've always been up there and never gone, sort of quite got promoted. Both teams are sort of hovering around the playoffs, or Maldon are top three or whatever at the moment. So yeah, it should be a good game to go to.
We're looking at the form. I mean, Grays lost 1-0 at home to Heybridge, lost 2-1 away to Barking, drew 2-2 with Basildon. They lost 1-0 away to Romford, and they beat Berrytown in the last game 3-2. Scored 6, conceded 8. Maldon Tiptree to beat Basildon away 2-1. Beat Felixstowe at home 2-1. Drew with Heybridge 1-1. Lost surprisingly at home 1-0 to Witham. And then beat Maldon and Tiptree by... beat Great Wakering by 4 goals to 2. Scored 9, conceded 6. They're head-to-head. They've played each other 5 times in the last few years. Maldon 2-1. Grays 2-0. Maldon 2-0. Grays 2-2, and the last time they played each other earlier in the season, Maldon went to Averley to play Grays and beat them 5-0.
So yeah, I think with Maldon, I mean, I played against them a couple of times in pre-season, once when Kevin Horlock was there, and it's a start again every pre-season. You know, they literally have to build from pre-season because players get released from Colchester under 23s. They no longer stay at Maldon. They then go and play their football elsewhere. And then Kevin Horlock obviously had to bring all players in. And then he's gelling those players in. And then obviously Kevin, they swap roles, Kevin and Wayne Brown. Wayne Brown ended up at Maldon. Mm-hmm. Kevin Horlock ended up at Colchester. And then it was the same for Wayne. I had a couple of conversations with Wayne in the summer. And it's start again. You know, they have to have trial game after trial game after trial game, pick most probably 8 or 9, 10 boys out of trial games and start again. So for Maldon, year after year, yes, they have their help from Colchester, and I think the rule has changed where they can only have 5 boys signed on at any time during the season. But Wayne's done really well there, because coming out of the pro game, he's had to go in, put trial games on, talk to players, meet new managers, you know, get feel for players, and he's done really well. But then, you know, Jamie Stewart has obviously been at Grays a long, long time. You know, Kieran's gone back, sort of like put a little run together, then they have a blip, then they put another little run together. But for both sides, really, I mean, I think they're two big football clubs. And I can honestly see both of them making the playoffs.
Right, in a minute, Maldon are sitting third, played 20 with 40 points. Grays are seventh, played 19 with 31.
Something's got to give. Mm. Something's got to give. I mean, Felixstowe, you know, I think Maldon went down to Felixstowe, and Maldon come unstuck at Felixstowe as well. And I think in this league, Dave, anybody can beat anybody. Yeah. I mean, I see some really surprise. I mean, Felixstowe beat Coggleshaw last Saturday 3-0. It's no disrespect to Felixstowe, but you would have thought Coggleshaw would have gone there, picked up the points, you know, another 3 points to their promotion bid. And I just think everybody in this league can beat each other. And like I said, I think the points will be shared this weekend.
Mm. Yeah, I'll go with Glenn. I think it'll be a 2-2 draw. Both teams score goals. So, I think it'll be a 2-2 draw.
Would you say that would be a case because Bishop's gone back there, because Kieran's gone back there? Would you say that's why maybe you might be going for a draw because, again, you know, the firepower that Mr. Bishop's got? I mean, is that what's swaying you a little bit, or is it...
You know, Kieran didn't have the best of times at Coggleshaw, you know. So obviously the travelling was a little bit further for him to go. He seems at home at Grays, scored goals there for the last 2 seasons before he moved to Coggleshaw, which I was a little bit surprised of that move. Coggleshaw trying to go through the leagues. But at this moment in time, I think personally Grays are a bigger club than Coggleshaw. You know, you've only got to look at the gates Coggleshaw get, sometimes 65, 68 people for a gate. But I think with Kieran going back to Grays, he knows Grays and Grays know Kieran, and they do play to his strengths. And, you know, he works hard, he knocks people about, and he's a good finisher. You know, I've tried to sign him a couple of times, and I wish him well. And hopefully he can settle between now and the end of the season and score the goals to get Grays into the playoffs. Mm.
Glenn, we need you just to move to your right just a little bit, because we're losing you every now and again off the screen. That's it, that's the time, mate. Well, Dean, yourself, I mean, would you... Kieran Bishop make a difference, not make a difference?
Yeah, definitely make a difference, mate. I spoke to him as well. So, listen, the hardest thing to do in football is score goals. Mm. And he knows where the back of the net is. He scored goals at step 4 for 5-6 years. So he knows where the back of the net is. And there's no surprise he's gone back there, and suddenly Gray's a winning game.
And I think it's one of those things for me, more than Tiptree again, though. They always seem to be up there, don't they? You know, whether or not they've got, as you just said, a lot of changes every single season. And whoever seems to be in charge, you know, of Maldon, they're always one of those sides you expect to be in that sort of top, not just in the playoffs, but in that sort of top two, top three, you know, for the last three or four seasons.
I think if Wayne don't get Maldon out of this league this year, then my money would certainly be on them for most probably automatic promotion next year. Because I think they've gone about their business a little bit different to what they had previous seasons. They've gone out and signed players who are not connected to Colchester because of the rule change. So they might have that group come pre-season. Wayne might have, I don't know, 11, 12 of those boys together for another year. But like I said before, to go into a football club from Colchester under-23s and people say, oh yeah, but he's got this budget, that budget and everything else. We're talking about a guy who's been in professional football, who's had to step out of professional football and build a side for promotion, because Maldon want promotion. They want to get to step three. That's the ambition and the minimum they want to be at, because it attracts other players out of the football league, drop down to step three. I think when I was in charge of step three, I found it better to get players out of pro clubs. And then the other manager I spoke to have stepped four because of the levels, obviously. So I think Maldon need to get out of this division, and then I think they will attract the better players, and I think they've got the financial backing, because I believe the chairman at Colchester runs Maldon or owns Maldon. So you can see why they need to close the gap between their sort of like first team and their backup club as such.
Dean, I mean, so where do we see this one going then? Do we see a home win, a draw, away win?
Nah, too old for me. I think a draw.
Glenn?
I'm going to go 3-2 Maldon.
Paul's gone 3-1 and to Maldon, and I've gone 2-1 to Maldon. So I think it's just going to be an interesting game. I think it's one of those games, if you was a neutral and you've not got a game to go and watch, that you may want to go down to Maldon and watch that one at the weekend, because I think that one could be quite a decent game of football on Saturday.
Yeah, guaranteed goals by the looks of it.
Well, let's have a look at some of these other games that are being played at the weekend. Just get quick thoughts on some of these, especially in the Premier League division. Burgess Hill Town versus Bognor Regis. I mean, Burgess Hill have had a couple of decent results of late, surprise results as well, and Bognor a couple of bad results as well. I mean, Bognor, of course, losing at Brightlingsea during the week as well.
Yeah, tough place to go, Burgess Hill. Isn't it, Glenn?
Yeah, it's very, very tough place to go. But I read the Bognor Regis manager's notes that they just didn't turn up at Brightlingsea. And I think that's a little bit disrespectful, because Brightlingsea, believe me, that's a tough place to go with Billy Hunt, Aaron Condon and people like that. You're not just going to turn up at Brightlingsea and win football matches. And Burgess Hill are exactly the same. You know, these teams are at step three for a reason. And, you know, I thought that was a fantastic result for Brightlingsea, beating Bognor. And, you know, I do agree with these football clubs when they've got to do a 300-mile trip to get to Brightlingsea midweek. I think it's a little bit too much, you know, this level of football, but it is what it is. But, yeah, I think with Bognor, I think they'll look to bounce back, personally. I can see Bognor bouncing back this weekend.
Dean?
Yeah, I think it'll be a draw. Yeah. Like you say, Pat Burgess, he always tough place to go, and yeah, Burgess Hill had a couple of good results recently. Yeah, so I think it'll be a tight game and maybe a one or draw that one.
Crimpfield Casuals, of course, they're going to be playing Leatherhead. Folkestone Victor, they're going to be playing AFC Hornchurch, who just got into the semi-finals of the Essex Cup during the week as well. So, I mean, that's going to be a tough game, of course, as well, with the main game from the Abbey to Hornchurch as well. Change of manager there, that's going to be a good old humdinger of a game as well, because he's got, he's taken five of the Waltham Abbey players that were his Thurrock players, so that's going to be a tough one for Folkestone, because Hornchurch seem to be the draw kings at the minute.
I'm just shocked that Folkestone haven't got more points on the ball. I thought they were one of the best sides I see last year. And when we went to Folkestone, you know, we got a good eye on, to be honest. And it's going to be fruitful for one, because I know Folkestone are going to look after themselves. You know, if they do get mixed up a little bit, Folkestone have got players in there who can dish it out as well. So yeah, it should be a tasty game.
Yeah. Folkestone, we got hammered there last year as well. So I agree with you, Glenn. Yeah, we got stuffed 5-0 there, I think it was last year. So Mark Stimson, yeah, they put themselves about his team. So yeah, it should be a good game.
Well, I think we just lost Glenn. I think his battery's run out on his iPad charger. So I think he's forgot he's got a charger and he can plug it in. But just go through a couple of the others. While me and you are still here, at least. Harlow and Haringey. I mean, we've had a lot of people talking about it tonight. I mean, that's going to be, a difficult old place to go to Harlow. And I mean, it's going to be an interesting to see. I think, as we said Monday night, it's pace, isn't it, for Haringey? And I suppose it'd be a case of how Harlow defend against it and how they come up, you know, can handle that sort of pace.
Yeah, and like you say, Haringey have won 12 out of 13 games. Listen, they're going to be up there if they don't win it. But they... will they keep winning? At some point, they're going to
Jake's just come in and said, Curtis Uger will be the difference for us. He's absolutely solid.
Looks like I see him play for Harrow Borough last year as well. So, yeah, experienced centre-half. He makes great noises when he enters the ball. He don't stop talking for 90 minutes. So, yeah, good signing for Harlow.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen Cooper's just said, what you done with him, Rachel, LOL. So I think she's talking about Glenn. Oh, he's talking about Glenn.
He's disappeared.
He's probably got to go out for another walk, and that's why he had to go out.
I think he's getting a train to Three Bridges.
Well, looking at the other ones, I mean, Harlow, you know, I mean, Harlow doing okay down there, but they need to start getting some wins, don't they, Dean? I mean, they need to start picking up, you know, they go on a little run, but they need to go on this little run for maybe for a little bit longer. And I mean...
There's four or five teams near the bottom now. And obviously, yeah, Wingate have got Hemel in the FA Trophy this week, so they're not playing in the league. But yeah, Harlow, Wingate, Potters Bar Town, they've been on a bad run recently. They got Brightland Sea on Saturday. So yeah, there's some teams that need the points.
But in the last time a team that was top of the table went to Harlow, they got beaten. And that was, of course, the start of Tom Bridges' dive down the table.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. We've got Potters Bar against Brightling Sea. Did you see anything other than a Brightling Sea win there?
Well, like, I might go to that game, Dave, actually. So, Potters Bar are desperate need of a win. You'd say Brightling Sea are in desperate need of a win. So, it's 3 points for either team will improve their chances of staying up, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And then when you're on a really bad run, the last thing you want is a home game against Kingstonian, but it's Tonbridge Angels versus Kingstonian at the weekend.
Yeah, Kingstonian, great. They got some strong strikers this year, haven't they? Mm. And they'll be trying to win the league. I think I see an interview with their manager saying he wants to win the league and get promoted. So yeah, but Tonbridge, they've still got some good players, and Steve's a good manager, so they'll turn it around definitely. Mm.
Whitehall versus Dorking. Another one that's going to be a good game.
On paper, you could see it's a Man City Burton game. But, you know, like Whitehall only lost 3-0 to Haringey, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they're sort of just adrift now, aren't they? So if they don't pick up a couple of wins in the next few games, they're definitely going to be relegated.
Well, Glenn's actually watching us now, so he's there, so you can he's physically watching us. So, hi, Glenn. So in the north then, looking at some of these games that are coming up at the weekend in the north, and I've skipped forward a week for some unknown reason. I don't know why the football web pages is blowing up again, but Averley against Felixstowe and Wharton.
Yeah, I mean, Avely expected to sort of be up there this year. Felixstowe, I saw they got a great, great crowd at the weekend. We went to Felixstowe in the cup, and lovely club, lovely people. I'd love to see them do well, but I'd expect Avely to win this one.
Right, of course. Felixstowe looking for the double, because they were one of the sides that have actually beaten Avely in the league this season. So be really interested. And I think that from what I was told, that when they went to Felixstowe, you know, put themselves about a little bit, and Avely didn't like it too much, and that was what maybe swung it in Felixstowe's favour. So it'll be an interesting game. I mean, I'll be there, hopefully, work depending. Of course, I'll be there on Saturday. Skip forward again. So Bowes and Pitsy versus AFC Sudbury. I mean, Sudbury probably looking to bounce back from the Avely defeat, but then having to go away and playing against Bowes and Pitsy. But of course, it's El Plastico yet again.
Yeah, Bowers look strong though, don't they?
Yeah.
They're sort of grinding out. Well, not even grinding out. I know they lost in. They lost to Heybridge at the weekend.
And lost to East Thurrock during the week as well, in the Essex Cup as well.
Yeah, so they'll be looking to bounce back. But yeah, they've got a good side. They're top of the league, and everyone would love to be top of the league at this stage of the season.
So Brentwood versus Great Wakering. Bury Town, they're playing Canvey Island. Coggeshall Town, they're playing Soham Town Rangers. Dereham Town are playing Heybridge Swifts. So Heybridge have got the long journey up there, but surely 3 points, an easy 3 points for Heybridge.
Did I say Dereham got a new manager this week? Did I see that somewhere?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a long journey, you know, long journey for them, but surely it's a Man City Burton game, isn't it, as you just said earlier on?
You never know, mate. They are new managers sometimes. I don't know if they brought in any players or whatever, but sometimes a new manager effect works, doesn't it? But yeah, you'd expect Heybridge to win.
And probably what the form team in one of the form teams anyway in the North Division, Witton Town, they go to Mildon Hall Town.
Yeah, Mildon all struggling. They're someone with a new manager. Witton, from where they were 2 months ago, I know you got a soft spot for them, Dave, didn't you? But they're, fair play to them. And, yeah, I can see Witton winning again.
And then last but not least, Romford versus Barking. And Romford having a torrid time at the minute.
Yeah, they're back down there where they were last year. Barking had a good win Saturday, didn't they? Justin, good manager at Barking, and I'm sure he'll get his team up for it.
In the Jigsaw League, Bedfont Sports versus Chipstead. Bracknell Town versus South Park. Well, there's only one winner there, surely.
Yeah, I mean, Bracknell, I saw the Chipstead manager say this week that Bracknell were the best team he's seen this season as well. So, I agree with him. And even though I still think Hayes and Yedin will win the league, Bracknell favourites to win the playoffs for me.
Yeah. Chesson versus Ashford Town. That's going to be a good game as well. I mean, there's two sides that are going really well, but for me, when you've got a side and a friend like Craig Edwards, like I have, I mean, not being funny, I'm not going to go against Craig Edwards. Not by the way he was dressed on Monday night, anyway.
Yeah, I see him trying to have a scrap with the Hartford manager as well. So I went to Chesson Hartford, and Jason Hallett, massive player for Chesson, goal machine.
Yeah.
Chesson, very experienced side.
Came off the bench and got two goals at the weekend as well. So.
Yeah, he come off injured against Chesson, against Hartford. But yeah, he scored goals for years, mate. So if he plays, they're always got a chance of winning.
Yeah. Hanwell Town against FC Romania. Marlow versus Westfield. Another good game. And Westfield in a bit of form, beat the Abbey last weekend. And of course, Marlow up there fighting for it up the top end of the table. So that should be quite a little good game.
Yeah, we went to Westfield and had a good win there. And that, they were a very, very good side, because they were sort of one of the teams that come into the league and you maybe didn't know too much about. But yeah, they got some good players.
Molesley versus Ware. Uxbridge versus Hertford Town. And Waltham Abbey versus your old boys, Northwood. I mean, that good game, that, or not?
Yeah, I mean, Waltham Abbey have sort of had up and down results since the new blokes come in. I know the Northwood manager hasn't won a game since he took over. So yeah, both teams will be looking for a win. And Waltham Abbey be trying to stay in the playoffs.
I had an interesting chat with the chairman of Waltham Abbey, actually, in a supermarket during the week. We won't say what that was, but they're difficult for them, because, you know, they lose somebody like Mark Stimson, you know, and then of course Mark then takes some of the players with him as well. It's difficult for my hometown club, you know, because But in saying that, the chairman there's put his money in. You know, he's trying to push that club forward. And it's not many clubs around that probably deserve it as much as Waltham Abbey. I mean, you know, when you think of what the pitch was like before the chairman there sort of moved in and what the pitch looks like now, I mean, the pitch looks like an absolute carpet over there. And he's certainly, you know, putting his money where his mouth is, shall we say. And I think with the two new guys coming in, two young managers coming in, I think they're doing a fantastic job down there.
Yeah, that's right, and they have had some good wins. Yeah, it's always hard when you walk into a football club and seven or eight of your players leave. You've obviously got to go and get some boys to strengthen. But listen, they're sitting in the playoffs with, what is it, 15, 20 games to go or whatever. Everyone would like to be in that position, and if they finish strong, they got a good chance of getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. In Keith's League, of course, in the South League, is Ashford United versus Winstable Town. East Grinstead have got the honour of hosting Cray Wanderers. Greenwich Borough against Herne Bay. Horsham against Whiteleaf. Hive Town versus Haywards Heath. Ramsgate versus Guernsey. Sevenoaks versus Faversham Town. I mean, Sevenoaks, Faversham, maybe the one that's sort of a lot more on it, maybe from where the two clubs are.
Yeah, Faversham obviously need to win to sort of keep away from that relegation zone. I see in that league, Sittingbourne got a new manager, didn't they?
Yeah.
This week. So, but yeah, it's all to play for. It's like I said, we haven't really had any sort of bad weather yet either. So you'd imagine that will kick in at some point. So it's important teams get some points whilst the games are up.
Well, I just accidentally hit the trigger to push it forward a week for the fixtures, and I think we might be looking at these two next week without a doubt. Cray Wanderers against VCD on the 19th, and also Phoenix Sports versus Horsham.
Two
really big games. But I mean, what game are you going to at the weekend then, Dean?
Go to Potters Bar Town, Brightlandsea. Mm-hmm. So sort of being a Potters Bar boy is quite local and stuff. So yeah, I've been getting out there watching games, and it's good to sort of see different games and see different players and speaking to sort of friends of like teams that managers and stuff. So yeah, just looking forward to it. And obviously, it's nice not to have the pressure of having to win at five o'clock.
But is it still frustrating for you and Glenn and Paul, of course, as well, that you know jobs come up and jobs get taken, and you know you and Glenn and Paul still not got a job?
Well, like from my point of view, we've won leagues and cups at Cockfosters, Wingate, and Norfolk. So, sort of from my personal managerial record, I feel I've been successful at all three clubs. Glenn done a great job at Leeston. Paul's done a great job at Waltham Abbey and Chesham. Listen, we're all keen to get back into the game. Our records show that we've done well. But being a manager is sort of pretty similar to being a goalkeeper. There's only one place available. And every decent club that becomes available, I'm sure there's always 20-odd people that want the job.
Mm. So is it for you, though? Is it a case of you just looking at sort of Bostic League Step 4 sort of level, or something at Step 5, or even below that came up that, you know, and someone came knocking on your door with a bit of ambition, would you be looking at somewhere like that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I'm open to offers. I've had sort of offers to come and be first team coach and assistant managers at clubs, but I still want to manage. Like I said, I feel I've done well. I'm still young as a manager, so it's done me well, and I've learned a lot at the three clubs I've been at, and I can't wait to get back into it.
Mm. And are you surprised somebody like, I know he's not with us at the minute, but are you surprised somebody of Glenn's stature, shall we say, and what he did at least, and that he's still, you know, not got a position?
Yeah, and I think Glenn has been offered jobs, having spoken to him, but he wants the right job. He's mentioned where he lives and stuff, so there's a few jobs that he might be up for in the future. But like all of us, it's nice to step away for a bit, recharge the batteries and go again. But yeah, Glenn done a fantastic job there, and no doubt, even if it's the summer, someone will come in for him in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Just hope so. Well, listen, Dean, thanks for staying the course. Of course, Glenn sort of dropped off halfway through, but unfortunately, but Matty, thank you for joining us again this week. And as I said, next at the weekend, hopefully everybody gets the points that you want at the weekend. Me and Keith will be back on Monday night for the ESPN show. Me, Dean, Paul, if his missus lets him out, and of course Glenn as well, we'll all be back for the preview show next week as well. But until then, good night.